morning, everybody. Welcome to Respect Our Authority, Wisecrack South Park Podcast. My name is Jacob. I'm filling in for Jared, who's on vacation this week. And in the studio, we got the other authoritarians. We've got Amanda.
Hey.
On the line, we've got Michael Lux from Austin.
Hello.
Hello there, Heather. And we do not have Ryan Haley in the studio or on the line today. Ryan is out sick, but he's left us a voicemail, which is good with his rating. So I'm very curious. But it's just us today talking about season 23, episode 7, Board Girls. So as always, I'm going to go around the room and guess the ratings. Amanda's kind of let the cat out of the bag a little bit earlier today. But my guess, and I'm not as good at this as Jared, obviously. Jared's very, very good at this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that Ryan's going to give it an A++. I'm going to guess Michael Lux, you're going to give it an A. And Amanda, I guessed that you would give it an A. And I'm probably really wrong. So we'll come back to Ryan in a second, but let's start with you, Lux. How did I do?
All right. So I had confusing feelings about this episode. I thought that it had all of the sort of aesthetic flavor of some of my favorite shit in the world, i.e. pro wrestling and board games.
I was going to say, there's wrestling in here. You got to love it.
Well, that's the complicated thing. Is like the flavor of this episode to me was A+, but the content and the plotting was like a big old biff, like just a big problem in a lot of ways. So I think what I'm going to give this episode, I thought about this a lot, is I'll give this episode a D+, where the D is for the episode, but the plus is for the flavor of the episode.
Okay. Amanda, how did I do?
So I was going to go F.
Wow. look at this.
So not
Jacob
great.
Gives A's across the board.
Jacob's a Cooper.
We got a D, we got an F. Granted, you guys didn't like the China episode, and I think everyone came around.
A casual F. In part because I was annoyed because I actually thought that the structure was pretty good in that both plots collided at the end. But I thought, like Lux said, the content was like, ooh, just kind of a misfire. I feel like South Park is usually funniest when it's making fun of me. Mm-hmm. Like me personally. And like the PC Babies is like a great opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
And I just feel like this episode was just like really hit, like missed the mark. And definitely did not respond to it.
Like they had an opportunity to really kind of amp up the satire or like the poking fun at you as a
yeah, I PC just baby I feel whatever. Like I feel like it punched down. And like good humor punches up, you know?
Yeah. I thought it had a very interesting end in that it seemed oddly mature. But let's go into Ryan really quickly. Here's Ryan on the voicemail again. Sick.
But
so
if he
sad.
Loves it.
Let's see.
We'll
I guess
see.
A++. I guess a 2+er.
Oh my God.
Let's see.
What's up, Wisecrack? And respect our authoritarians. It's me, Ryan. I'm sorry I couldn't be there today. But I did want to tell you what I thought about this episode. So that Jacob, let's see if your prediction is correct.
God, you're really amping it up.
For those filling in today, I thought this episode got a rating of an A+.
Whoa!
So here's why.
Woo!
Oh, no.
I'm not a transphobe for saying that. I just thought this is what South Park does the best, is takes an issue that has, you know, very strong passions on both sides.
I feel like Heather.
It down
Woo!
For everybody. and yeah, I feel like we got a little bit of everything for this in this episode. I was the strong woman competition. Like I was sitting there going, "Oh no, they're doing this, and they did it," and I was, and then I was laughing, and it was hilarious. I'm sorry, but I thought that they did this was like I said before, what South Park does best, and it had. It had social themes, and then also just like boys and girls hanging out, you know, just like we talked about how it's just kids being kids themes, but also wrapped up into the greater issue. And yeah, I just really thought this episode was firing out all cylinders. And also just, I love the whole structure now. I guess that we're going to have a PC baby who's going to replace Tegrity Farm and be the new
we'll get into that in a
quote
second.
Unquote. Rest of the season, interesting. I didn't see that coming. So, all right, cool.
I think you did.
Miss you guys. Sorry I couldn't be there today.
Peace. Love you, Ryan. We miss you, brother. Go check out Ryan's shorts. He's the best. Man, Ryan's awesome. I'm so happy. I got even within like a margin of a plus. I'm very, very happy.
Wow. Yeah.
I thought everyone was going to love this episode. Clearly, I loved it. I thought it was very, very, very funny. The last two episodes, it just missed the mark for me.
Yeah.
You know, like the white joke got a little old. Mm-hmm. Here, I was just like, wow, that was funny. I was laughing out loud, eating my sweet potato and just like cracking up the whole time. But yeah, Ryan made a quick reference to, and I think all three of you guys got that right in terms of the season finale being sort of the end of Tegrity Farms mm-hmm. and the start of a new, fresh season within a season. So obviously we have the PC Baby special. Before we go any further, and by the way, my rating is probably an A+. I loved it. And this is good. This makes for good entertainment.
Real
for us
diametrical
to be,
opposition here.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. Although I feel I have no one to like defend my corner now. It's just me.
It's just you.
You're going to beat me down. Before we get any further,
welcome
let's go.
To the dog pound, brother.
Well, I love that Randy Savage stand in there. Man, all right, here we go. Let's get into a quick recap first before we go any further. Strong woman's hard at work preparing for the strongest woman athletic competition. In an assembly, she encourages girls to be brave and try more extracurriculars. So two girls join Dice Studs, the school gaming club. Much to Eric's chagrin, they come ready with D&D characters. Later, Cartman and Co. go to the principal to complain. The girls are beating the boys at every game because they treat gaming like homework. At competition, Strong meets Heather, a trans contestant who just began identifying as a woman 2 weeks ago. Heather is buff AF. They compete, and Heather easily wins. Strong is a good sport about earning second place. Heather goes on to sweep every women's sports competition. She goes on a media tour to humble brag and diss Strong Woman. PC Principal stands up to her, and Heather calls him a transphobe, which upsets the PC babies. Later, Strong reveals that Heather's actually her ex-boyfriend out for revenge. Heather and PC get into an argument on TV, as PC says Heather shouldn't be allowed to compete in women's sports because men and women have bodies that are simply different. Things get heated, and PC pushes Heather into a craft services table. She lightly nudges her. This devastates the PC babies. Eric takes his complaint to Congress, arguing that girls are ruining Game Club because they actually read game rule books. He gets his wish. Clubs become sex segregated. The girls outmaneuver him and start Board Girls, a dope girls-only game playhouse. A supposedly transphobic PC principal is now all over the news. He and Strong invite Heather in for a PR-friendly celebratory assembly where Heather brags that she can beat any girl in any competition. The girls challenge him, or her, to a board game competition and promptly kick his ass. The PC babies forgive PC principal, suggesting they're starting to grow up. End of episode. Let me get a little clap action here. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Woo!
Woo! Okay. What an episode. They really packed a lot in there. So again, let's just start with this new season. As we talked about, it's a new season. I think Ryan kind of was the first to bring up that it's the end maybe of Tegrity Farms. And then Lux kind of said, I think it's going to be the start of a new season, a split season. So let's just start there. Any first impressions on PC Babies? I think, you know, it's a cool opportunity to open up a new can of worms.
Yeah, see, I'm with Amanda. I actually really like the PC Babies because even though I am avowed and obviously very publicly a leftist human being, I find a lot of the discourse about what people should and shouldn't say and how they should talk about things to be mostly dumb. Obviously, it's important, but a lot of the way people use it is stupid. And I think the PC Babies do a great job of like impinging a certain type of kind of like what I like to call like Tumblr leftism that is like mm-hmm. useless and annoying. But this episode just wasn't even that. It was just a huge. I was so excited when I saw the PC Babies, and then I saw the episode, and I was just so bummed because this episode. Ryan says this is what South Park does when South Park's at its best, which I don't agree with because. This is South Park at like its most jack-offy and self-congratulatory in a mm-hmm. way that like I just do not have fucking time for. Like
in what ways? Like in which, which jokes?
They start the episode, right, with the PC babies being mad at Mulan because Mulan has a woman dressing up as a man, doesn't address trans themes. And then at the end of the episode, they're talking about like how there's important nuance and you need to have nuance in these things. They neither address trans themes, as they mentioned in the beginning, nor do they approach the topic with any kind of nuance because the whole topic thing is just like a nonsense straw man argument about trans people in women's sports. And it's just like, it blows my mind that they feel so like smug and satisfied they did a smart, good job about this. When it is like, and I say this as someone, I laugh throughout this episode because like,
there were good jokes constantly. It's gotta be funny. I mean, when I think about your rubric, Lux, and I don't mean, yeah, when I think about your rubric of what makes a good episode, at least in past episodes when we talked about this, number one seems to really be, am I laughing my ass off? And there to me are just clearly funny fucking jokes in this episode. And I've got tons of them.
Oh, totally. Even,
and especially Cartman and the, I think the game, like a lot of the actual board game club stuff is hilarious.
Oh my God. Number Stan two, describing the difference between the different kinds of Euro games is so fucking funny.
Incredible. Or like the painted miniatures, and there's so much good stuff. So like that was great. And then number two, I feel like your other part of the rubric is organization. Like does it at least like, does A plot and B plot, do they play into one another? Is it tied with a nice bow? Do all the scenes sort of, are they necessary and connected? And I think like, you know, just how we look at the last two episodes, that's why they got dinged. They were either weren't that funny or they weren't that organized. And here I'm like, it's hitting on those cylinders. And now we're talking about just the content.
Yeah.
Which like is, and the, same thing for
the
Amanda.
Container is good. The content I thought within the container was just like,
messy.
Super expired, and like I'm talking about, I'm making a really bad Tupperware metaphor.
it's bad food in a good container.
Like the opposite of Ryan, I feel like this is like what people who think South Park is dumb and not really productive discourse, like this is like something they would point to and be like, what are they doing?
Yeah, and I don't think I turned so much to South Park for like,
no, I know, but people inside, who like make yeah. fun of South Park and say it's just like dumb dick jokes could like point to this episode and be like, I would be like, yes, you are correct about this episode.
Right. Well, the thing for me is that like, so my main thing, like we've talked about before, is like, there's like the structure and how much funny it is and the animation and like the ideas in it. And when one of those things goes awry in a serious way, it can like sort of implicate and mess up the other things. And so this is one of those instances where, yeah, this episode was really funny and I laughed a bunch at a lot of jokes, because like if you have kids talking about the different types of Euro games or like using the right kind of dice for the right kind of thing and articulating like the difference between different board game types, and you have Randy Savage impersonations and like hilarious fake wrestling cells, like I'm going to laugh at that shit because I love that shit. But it like doesn't feel as good to laugh at when like the conceptual grounding of the episode sucks ass.
Yeah, seriously. Like, why would you, like, when talking about, like, trans issues, why would you fixate on, like, a buff man identifying as a woman? I mean, I know it's, like, it's funny dumb. It's dumb funny. But I just feel like it's really, like, punching down on something that people already have a lot of grounds to, like, make fun of stupidly.
Yeah.
So,
it's like the least nuanced approach in a lot of ways, because, like, the picture they paint of Heather is like very literally like the sort of transphobic straw man of like all sort of dumb trans exclusive arguments. Right. Like that's the thing that makes it really frustrating, is that like, it's not just a dumb joke about trans people. That would be its own can of worms, which is fine. It's the specific iteration of a dumb, stupid like trope within this argument that doesn't get any kind of critical examination. Like, I guess if you zoom out, the idea like, if Randy Savage were alive and identified as a woman and changed nothing about his life and then competed in sports as a woman, it would be worth talking about and examining. That's true, but that's also self-evident.
Yeah, to me, the episode is not at all really diving into trans issues. It's really like diving into the titty twister that the left gets themselves into by being accommodating and being as Strong Woman says, got them by the balls, like being unable to point to like really call out those who are simply taking advantage of that system.
But right, but the thing is, those people don't really exist.
That's the thing. They don't exist.
I think that's true. And I think that's probably right. But that's all this is tying. All this is really getting to is there going to be a moment when some people need to be called out for their shit? And is it appropriate to do so when there's nuance? Because I think it's this idea that the PC babies feel like they can't, or like PC principal as an example, cannot call anybody out or cannot go against the grain for simply calling some people an asshole and some people, you know, where I guess their actions appropriate or where some people are totally valid. that seems to be more of the commentary on the, and I don't know.
I think that would check out to me. That would read to me a little bit if, like, the conclusion of the episode wasn't basically, like, gender essentialism always wins.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
was that the case? Because, look, to me, the finality of the episode, like, where it closes is, in the competition, in the strong woman competition, yeah, there are biological differences that make a man stronger. Therefore,
not always,
but, and therefore he's winning. Let's just take it from the size of his muscles. This guy's huge.
Assuming it's Macho Man Randy Savage.
Macho Man Randy Savage can beat strong woman. He is a stronger man, or he is a strong man. However, when it comes to a place where there's true equity, which is your brain, which is the board games. He loses.
Except
the
show situates board games as like a thing girls are better at.
Well, it doesn't matter.
Didn't bother me because I felt like it was I don't know anything about this really, but I felt like it was making fun of the way like gamer guys are
breaking the rules.
Are super reticent to like let women into like their community. Lux, is that right? Yeah.
No, that's a super real thing. Like, no, I thought that plot was great. My issue isn't with like the idea of this whole like women are good at games thing, like being like gender essentialist on face. It's just that like throughout the episode, they're like, girls keep winning at board games. And it's like, ah, look, the girls won at board games again to prove that like the bad sportsman is bad. And it was just sort of doubling down this idea of gender essentialism in a way that like it would have been much more. And obviously, it's a little critical because the assumption is that dudes play board games and dumb games like that. So, like, in that way, it's got some juice, but it just sort of felt like, bleh.
Yeah, and it also felt like even when, like, the women won, it wasn't because they were, like, bold or, like, innovative. It was because they read the rule book, which is, like, very in keeping with the idea that women can only do something well if they, like, are doing something very detail oriented and like rule bound. Like it was basically like women are like great at knitting, thus they would be good at a board game with a lot of rules.
Although as someone who treats board games like homework and loves it, they're doing it the right way. That's how you do it.
I mean, it's playing a game by the rules. That's the whole point of a competition, too. Like, if you're completely breaking and bending those rules, the strong man or the strong woman competition, he's clearly breaking the rules. Like, he's using the rules to his advantage. That's why him and Cartman are so paralleled in this episode.
Right. That's the part that makes me most forgiving of this episode is that it ends with Cartman and Heather like leaving together,
starting their own thing, because they're both breaking the rules or not paying attention to the rules or not. They're just there to win regardless. And again, I don't think of course you have to simplify a little bit in an episode like to for the girls to be really good at board games. Well, we're not allowing South Park to win at all here because they're really saying is girls are really smart. They're like winning fair and square because they're really good. And I don't think the gender there, I don't think matters so much, honestly. I think it's just a matter of like, when it comes down to a place where there really is equity, there really is no unfair advantage here. Like everyone can read the rules. Everyone can use their brain, regardless of gender, when the rules are really fair and square, no matter how you identify, Heather loses.
And yeah, I mean, I think that's strong. A fair read. I just think it's a little bit generous just like how the episode played to me, I guess. Like, I don't think anything you're saying doesn't make sense. And I think it all checks out like with the text. It's just like the episode, and maybe it's just because like I hated how like self-satisfied the ending felt. I just fucking hate. I just don't like when the show acts like it's earned something that it hasn't. Mm-hmm. And this ending where it was like nuance is very good and important. It was like, well, then give me a nuanced fucking episode, nerds. Like you don't just get to say your thing is nuanced and then that counts. That's not how it works.
And I actually think, and I actually think it could have been funny to just have like a believable trans character who's actually an asshole, because that it like you would never like
that's a good point.
You would never in like a PC bubble call a trans person an asshole because like they're so marginalized in like mainstream society.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And making a trans person an asshole is very funny and is very South Park. But doing it
as Randy Savage,
Lux said, like in the least subtle way is just like not funny to me.
Yeah. Why didn't they just have Cartman pretend to be a girl to win like a wings eating contest or something? You know, like at least that would have been like grounded in like some sense of like the show's pre-existing kind of moral framework or something.
But then you wouldn't have got the voice like this in the episode.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem is that like, this is why I have so many feelings with this episode is that like, there's probably no scene that didn't make, well, that's not true. A lot of the PC principal, strong woman by themselves scenes weren't that funny to me, but like most of the scenes made me laugh, which is the main goal of the show. So it's hard for me to be like super mad at it, but also just like the episode felt gross and weird and self-satisfied and smug in a way that I didn't like. And it's very hard to reconcile those two things because like, yeah, fucking having Heather just do pure macho man, just like, ooh, yeah, I'm here to win the title and I'm going to be the strong woman because I'm the strongest woman. And even though you got those kids, I'm still the best. It's still like it fucking rules. It's super funny, but like it also sucks.
I think it's hilarious. I loved the showdown at the end where he comes to talk, or Heather, she comes to talk to the school and has like the whole like fireworks display and then rips off her pants. And then it's got like the big swinging dick and balls at the end. I thought that was great.
It's the full, the full Randy Savage wrestling entrance with the...
Totally. Yeah.
I also feel like the episode kind of like was scolding me for not liking it. Like, even at the end, you know, the whole point is the PC babies are growing up because they're not mad at their dad for
standing up for himself and for his wife.
Yeah, for being reasonable in quotation marks. But like it, like Lux said, it's just very self-satisfied.
Yeah, I can see that. I think, and I'm just hypothesizing, we're going to get some comments and voicemails about you guys being PC babies about the episode.
No, and that's so valid. And like, if it were a good episode, I would be so happy. But
I like getting roasted by South Park.
Me too. This is a prompt, guys. It's literally my favorite thing.
It's a fun experience.
When a South Park episode is making fun of me.
Feel like you've been nailed by a TV show. But this just like didn't feel like that.
Nail anything.
Right, right. I liked the bait. Well, let's talk. Were there any jokes that you guys did like?
Oh, I liked every board game joke and every wrestling joke made me laugh.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think like Stan's obsessive like encyclopedia of gaming in his head was probably what made me laugh the most.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was like well researched and correct.
Yeah.
I liked when PC Principal like lightly just shoves Heather, like just gives like, hey, stop it, cut it out or whatever. And then he's like, and then like body slams into the water cooler table.
Yeah. Does the full table. Like pro wrestling sell?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like takes like, the like, like sells the big bump. It was great.
Yeah.
Like that.
Does the whole victim thing. It was great. I just thought like that was like perfect. Transphobe.
Yeah.
I've got like a list of so many jokes. I mean, I loved it. I don't feel like it's not going to really resonate in me diving into any of those jokes. So let's go into themes. Clearly, there's an AB plot parallel that they're attempting here. We think we talked a little bit about this between the strong woman competition and the board games. Yeah. Anything there? I mean, there's obviously connective tissue about, like I said, you know, Heather having to then compete in an arena where it's truly fair, where the grounds are truly the same. I thought that was tied pretty neatly in a bow, except I guess the parallel is not one-to-one. Cartman being an asshole again, he's the one sort of prompting the whole, you know, the Congress to segregate these clubs. And then at the end, he's like, what the hell's going on? Like, why are we separating? Who made up these rules?
Yeah, I'm curious to see one thing about this episode. Is that I'm curious to see if they do, if this becomes sort of a semi-runner thing and we like revisit these ideas. Because like the thing that left the worst taste in my mouth is that like it didn't really feel like anyone proved anything that wasn't just sort of like the pre-existing worldview. And like I like when South Park changes. Like that was sort of my annoyance this episode a lot of the time, was that like at the beginning, I was like, well, they're saying girls are good at board games and that Randy Savage dressed up or pretending to be a lady is good at sports. OK, interesting. Where does this go? And it just sort of like didn't.
Yeah. Definitely.
And so, which kind of made me wonder, like, if there's more to come. Because, it, like, Jacob, like you're saying, like, it doesn't, it didn't feel like these themes were all the way fleshed out to a huge amount, except for, like, this, like, maybe this gender essentialism thing, which I think you're right, like, even if it's in there, probably wasn't the main point they were trying to make. And so I'm just kind of wondering, like, where it goes.
I just thought, first of all, I was really excited that they even covered trans, like the trans movement or issue, because first of all, we never guessed that. I think when we were trying to guess and predict, like, where could they go this season?
That's
none
true.
Of us even thought about that.
Yeah.
And I thought that's like, that was a bold choice. And the fact that they made that, they had some good humor in there is great. I guess I think we're going to get PC babies for the rest of the season. So that's one of the three episodes or two mm-hmm. episodes. Three more.
Yeah.
So that'll be cool. I don't know what else they'll carry over. I think like the trans issue is probably done here, I imagine. I don't know if they're going to like continue that side, but where else the PC babies might be crying about, what else they might be crying about. I think that's probably the rest of this season.
I'm trying to think what I'm crying about. So.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, I think they triggered the PC babies, the PC alarm bells. I'm getting an alarm sound effect here. Uh-oh.
Man, I don't know. I just like Lux said, I want to be triggered in a way that makes me like rethink the way I think, and this episode didn't do
total sense.
It also like, I feel like it could have brought up at some point the fact that like there are a lot of women who are stronger than a lot of men. Like that's just true.
The women were pretty awesome. I love that song too. Strong Woman.
Yeah, the song was really good.
And but like those women were doing shit that I can't do.
They play board games was also very good.
Yeah. Those women were doing like those clean and press. I mean, there's some intense workout moves there.
And again, if we go to the animation corner really quick, I thought that whole montage of like the competition like looked awesome.
Yeah, it
like,
really did.
Everything was super smooth. And like detailed with like little bits and the movements all made sense. Like it was really impressive. Like
no,
if you think about
right.
early South Park, like versus that, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, okay. So we've got AB plot parallels is clearly those two are connected. The other thing that came up for me that I thought, I think this is the crux of the episode, which I totally understand is not valid. It's a straw man argument. It's South Park, so I think it's obvious. But is this idea of strong woman says, and this is about having you by the ball. She goes, this is saying, she says that, you know, this, that Heather is her ex-boyfriend. And now, you know, we can't say anything. Effectively, she's saying that now Heather's got us both by the balls because we can't say anything because she's trans. So now she's a protected class. And now you can't say anything because it'll upset the PC babies. And now we're in this conundrum where we can't say anything. So more than the episode, let's move away from the episode because clearly the argument's not good there for you guys. But is there this idea of having your hands tied, or is there an idea of like, when can you just, at what point can we call someone an asshole, just an asshole and someone who's taking advantage of the movement of the progressive movement, whether it's Caitlyn Jenner or whatever. I don't know. I don't really know if there are any assholes in the trans community that have ever had to be called out, but let's just take that argument outside of the episode.
Right. I'm sure like a trans person has been an asshole to another person at some point,
sure.
Which is, and I actually think that's a very South Park-y argument to make. And they just didn't make it in the right way to me. Like they just made it in like the least sophisticated way.
Totally.
Right, like they made it about this idea of like the guy says, like she's not your normal trans athlete, right?
Right, exactly.
Like they position it in terms of like this idea of like this normal trans person, this normal trans athlete, which isn't like which Heather is not. And I think that like Amanda's been saying, and I think this is also when South Park said its best is like, give me the usual one, and then show me how they suck.
Totally.
Like, give me the one who's annoying in a way that we like actually can't like talk about, because you're right, like as someone who hangs out in like progressive spaces pretty regularly, like definitely sometimes I'll be like, ugh, that person sucks, and someone will be like, well, you know, they're going through some things and they're figuring some stuff out and like they're trans, they're dealing with all this trauma, and I'm like, I understand their trauma, but like that doesn't mean they have to suck.
Yeah. Like, right, totally.
You can have both. Like, you can be both annoying and a person dealing with like real life and I think social structural trauma.
Right. And I think Amanda's critique here is like, take that person. Like, that's perfect person to put as a stand-in in this episode, and you would have had a really strong episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think almost a perfect episode. Like 100%.
But that's, you know, yeah, you make one change like that. I think they just kind of went with it. But yeah, you make that one change and wow, you have a really profound episode. So let's talk about that. Let's pretend that we were there. You know, I think that's a really good point. I mean, like, I think the card of I'm going through something, the card of, hey, you're a transphobe, like all those cards that can be pulled or those excuses, yeah, should not excuse asshole behavior. And it's, I think the point is just that it's harder to call out an asshole if they're going through something that is so protected or so widely discussed.
Although, like, so protected within like the communities that like were within like liberal, progressive communities.
Sure.
As opposed to the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like the world, like trans people are not a protected class. Yeah. They're like the most vulnerable class. But yeah.
I think this is like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, to use a cultural word that everyone loves to hear, like, it's a question of intersectionality, right? Like, you can, a lot of different power structures operate on people at the same time, right? Like, I'm both like Jewish and like have brain problems and also an internet guy, etc. Like, but I'm also like a beneficiary of the privilege of like white male privilege, etc. Like, these things are all true at the same time and can all be examined like in collectively. And so one problem with like what I referred to before is like Tumblr leftism is like reducing politics to just the identity absent like the rest of the structural stuff, right? Like, that's the thing, is like the show wants you to believe and maybe even asserts, or maybe even the show does believe, that like people just like say that they're trans and now like they get treated in this different kind of way or whatever, which is true to an extent, but like they can also be an asshole, right? Like, you can have like a trans person eat your lunch out of the work fridge or whatever.
and that's literally funnier.
Like, no matter who it is, that's like, that's my macaroni salad that I made. Like, you don't.
I also think it's like, it's a it's like a fallacy to say that like overcorrection in the context of like a marginalized person who's had body dysmorphia, their gender dysmorphia, like their entire life. Like, I don't think overcorrection is a mistake. I think it's a mistake if like Lux said, like, you can't call them out for eating your lunch.
Yes. Yeah, if it, like, prohibits literally, I want to see that South Park episode. Yeah. Sucks.
No, that's a great, I mean, again, like, just someone surreptitiously getting away with it, pulling all the cards that we know that, again, I guess the PC babies or PC principal, whomever, is disallowed to use, like, to call someone out. It's, I think that's funny. I mean, it's a funny idea.
And but I think you're spot on with that. It's just that, like, the particular argument they're, like, leveraging with it is just, like, a popular and shitty one.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think that's what bums me out.
It's like a 4chan-y argument, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what bums me out, is that like it's just this thing you hear. I mean, I'm also like a big old sports nerd, right? I'm what they might call a sporto, and shouts out to Nick Weiger and the Doughboys podcast for that line. Like, this is a conversation that exists, and it sucks, and it's gross, and it's weird, and like it's just like South Park is more fun when it's taking a step beyond like the shitty obvious version of a discussion. And so like this episode, like, Jacob, I think you're right. Like, the leveraging of like how limited people are by like their attachment to identity and like making sure not to offend people, etc., is like a very funny thing and like a thing that needs to be addressed, because sometimes it bothers the shit out of me.
I know some people who use the moment, the political moment, and the progress of the left to their advantage. And I'm not going to name names, but it's just like...
Names.
No, it's...
spill the tea.
But let's just say that they are a minority who, you know, has... who's using the moment of progress to their advantage and using that as a card to play to be successful with their career and their job and stuff. And it's like... Again, I love this person dearly, so it's not a problem, but I just know it's not a, I mean, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't affect my love for this person, but it's just like, okay, I see what you're doing here. And I'm not, and this is one example, but you know, it's emblematic, maybe, of like being able to use the card when you want to.
Oh, it's a thing to be, it's a thing to be critical of. That's why, like, that's what I'm saying, is that I think this episode sort of like, in a really zoomed out way, kind of did have a good and correct target, I guess. But like, once you zoom in on it kind of at all, it was just like, yo, like, I've heard like Jeff Sessions talk about this problem. You know what I mean? Like, this is just this made up thing that like weird sport maniacs like Clay Travis and shit throw around to like prohibit trans athletes from participating in things.
When like, sexist men don't even care about women's sports. It's like they only care about women's sports when it's the issue of like trans athletes comes up, when there's like somebody that they hate more than they hate women.
Yeah. It's like, haven't you even seen Juana, man? Like, that was the whole lesson of the movie, is that like the guy's not as good as he thinks he is, and the women are actually great at basketball. Like, that's not like a woke movie by any means, but it's just like, this shit's been done. It's been played out. Juana Man was like 15 years ago.
We done it.
Yeah. The PC babies were wasted, I think.
I hear you. Well, I think we have more of them. So let's see if maybe they get
I really hope so, because I love the PC babies as a bit.
Yeah. Me too.
I need to get the crying sound effect on here. The babies. How about, I think the last thing I'm going to talk about here, and then I'd love to see if you guys have other themes, is, well, let's talk about segregation, this idea of like the gender segregation at the end. So Cartman is sort of constantly campaigning in the episode to, this is not fair. You're impeding on my Dice Studs group, which is clearly even termed, you know, very, very male group. And then he fights for the segregation, and even the girls are kind of like, yeah, come on in, check out our club, come hang out. And then it's Mr. Mackey who comes in and says, hey, no, there are rules. No boys allowed. Came on from on top, which obviously Cartman had fought for. Anything there in terms of the segregation, or like, should there be girls only clubs? And you know, because that's in a place, and again, an arena where it's not, again, it really is true parody at that point. I mean, we're not talking about anything physical. It's truly just hanging out. So yeah, what do you guys think there?
I mean, I think that's actually, to me, was one of the more insightful parts of the episode, because that's the part that most gets at like this idea that, you know, when you put a bunch, this is, oh god, all right, this is a very Zizek thing to say, but
hey-o.
Here we go.
I get a Zizek sound effect. I'll do some here.
Yeah, I can even do the voice. Like, you know, please. To put it in Zizek terms, like Zizek likes to say, like, your problem with multiculturalism is that when you put too many differing bodies in the same space, there's bound to be conflict.
Is that Sean Connery?
It was Zizek, but I'm dry throated. It's early, man.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I'm two cigarettes deep, and that's way too few to be talking to people.
Multiculturalism.
But yeah, so like Zizek likes to critique multiculturalism because like of this idea, or one of his critiques of multiculturalism is this idea that like, when you have all these different people with differing beliefs sharing a social space, there's bound to be conflicts.
Is it like implied that like that's because like multiculturalism like mainly exists to like make white people feel okay?
I think that's part of it. But then the other part of it is just that like, you know, if, I mean, a very simple example, right, is like if you have a bunch of people living in a town and the town used to be all pig farmers and everyone who moves there keeps kosher, like, there's going to be like, you know, that's naturally an issue, right? Like there are just places where like cultures have conflicts, and he doesn't necessarily say that like we should never try to like bond those things together or anything, but just that like it's part, there's like this fantasy of everyone just lives together and is totally fine, but like obviously like people have different ideologies and they clash sometimes.
Right.
And like, so there's this sort of fantastical endpoint in the show of like, we can avoid all these conflicts by having girls be over here and boys be over here and everyone separated, and we all respect each other and our differences, but we don't ever actually interact with each other. And that's sort of like what the end of the board game club thing sort of felt like to me, and felt critical of that idea, which I think is a good idea to criticize, because I don't think that it's true. I mean, I think it's true that people get in fights all the time. I just don't think it's worth separating people because of that.
I've got a personal experience with something like this. I went on a trip to Greece, loved the food, was hanging out with my friend Ryan, who happens to be of Greek descent. And I was like, Ryan, we should like make the meals that I had there together. Well, lo and behold, 3 years later, like we created a group of guys who like to hang out and cook together. And we like called it Le Cordon Bro as a joke.
Oh, that's, you know, Le Cordon Bleu.
Because there's like a bunch of guys who like to hang out and cook. So we were, yeah, we've just been, this group's been going for like four and a half years now. So we literally get together and we just make amazing, epic meals together. And it's just a bunch of bros hanging out. And I'm the only gay guy there, but they're very accepting. It's a very progressive group of attorneys. And we invited some girlfriends of the group. And we had one, again, a very dear friend. And I love them dearly. And if they hear this, I love you guys. But one of my friend's girlfriends did not like the name of the group and did not like the fact that it had been very male and refused to come and refused to let her boyfriend come to the group. And it doesn't make much sense to me because I'm like, you're invited. And the group name is like only comes up like once a year. And we're like, hey, guys, let's get together for LCB, which we call Le Cordon Bleu. Anyway, just this idea of the segregation part, like we were accommodating and open, but it seemed like it was problematic for us to even get together or have the name.
It's a weird thing because you should be able to have both, right? Friends. Like it's totally healthy to have like all male or all female spaces just to like.
I think it's the most important thing that I have in my life is an ability to, in that friendship, in that group. It's so I feel very, very privileged and I feel very blessed to have a group of men that I can really confide in. And, you know, we talk about our own issues and we talk about our own problems and relationships and whatever. But it's just nice to have that camaraderie that I think is rare. Like, I think it's rare, like later in life. It feels like at least a lot of my like
later
macho,
in life. Well, like my, at 30.
I mean, as an adult or a young adult or just later on and compared to like when you're in school.
For sure.
Like,
for
it's
sure.
So easy. You have fraternities. You have so many things, so many reasons to just be hanging out as guys or whatever.
Yeah, and, no, I think that those like.
And it's really a beautiful relationship and it's really important and one that I see a lot of my more macho friends or my friends who still live in Texas where it's like they don't really have that space to cry or be emotional or be who they are or talk about their feelings and to do it in a group that's. Safe and anyway, I don't mean I'm not defending Le Cordon Bleu. I'm just saying like it's nice.
I think it's good though. Like I think that it's good to have those kind of spaces and also like intermingle like spaces that are both like specific to a group of people and also spaces that are shared. And I think it's good to have both those things.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the end point that South Park is kind of getting at, like the fuck up, like PC Principal's grand mistake at the like, which I read that the no boys and the girls board games club rule was a PC Principal thing.
I thought it was Cartman being effective in Congress.
I just never got the inclination that Cartman was effective in Congress.
I love that.
Do you know what I mean? And it felt like the principal
diabetes.
Was reacting to the Heather stuff.
Oh, interesting.
But I could be wrong with that. But
I think because he appeals to Congress. And he says, you know, share your diabetes story. Oh, it's really sad. Really
and he's
sad.
Like, I'll be back every day if you don't do this.
Yeah. So I think that's because he says it's the rule. It came from on top. Some asshole like asked for it or something. This is Mr. Mackey saying a new rule came down from on top. Who made up that stupid rule? You know, and that was Cartman him saying, yeah, who made that stupid rule? And it was all about we need to separate and segregate these groups.
Right. And the thing is, and that's like this false fantasy, right? Of like avoiding these like intergroup conflicts by just like segregating them and pretending that like that's cool. And I think that,
I love
like,
when Butters walks into that group into Board Girls and he's like, wow, this is just what you said Dice Studs would become, Eric.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you read the fucking rule books. Like, oh, God, I cannot articulate how much I empathize with Nicole and Tammy in this episode.
Yeah, well, I use that. That's my, there's like a big, I think it might be like an internet thing now at this point, but I have been tech support for my whole family since I was like 5 years old. Like I just, I read the manual. So that's always like RTFM, read the fucking manual. It's always been like, how do I set up my remote control? Like, God damn it, read the fucking manual. It's the first thing I do. It's like, I read it like the Torah. I'm just like going through there and like, it's important. Rules are important. There are rules.
Yeah. And I mean, I empathize with the idea that like, I think like the girls in this episode are like a stand in for like girl gamers who like encounter a lot of like antagonism from men. So it would make sense that like a girls game. I'm sure there are tons of like flourishing girls gaming groups. And I think that's probably cool and healthy and therapeutic.
Awesome. But I also think they're just like a stand in for people who are smart. That's it. Like there's like those who are smart and then everyone else who's just pissed off and angry because they're not playing by the rules or not paying attention or they feel like they can just point the finger and blame, oh, they're girls or oh, they're whatever. No, they're just like playing by the rules. They're doing exactly what what we all kind of collectively agreed are the rules of this game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a very board game nerd specific critique, but like, I'll play games with people and they like learn the rules and just kind of like go about it and don't really like, don't like sit down with the book or whatever and just sort of like are like, we're playing a game. And then get frustrated when they lose. And it's like, look, dude, if you want to win, you have to be like me and like grab the rule book and go outside with a cigarette and the rule book for 10 minutes and like read that shit cover to cover. Like, if you, that's like, that's how it works. And that's how all games work. You have to like know how to play them. You can't just sort of like grab ass around.
Right.
And like, that's, I did, I really enjoyed that element of the episode where so much of Cartman's stuff in general across like many episodes of the show is just Cartman kind of like half-assedly doing things. So watching Cartman get confronted by someone who like took the even something as simple as board game seriously and just being like totally owned, was very satisfying to me.
Totally.
I hope that South Park doesn't like lean into the criticism that they're going to get about the way they like address trans issues, you know?
That
like,
is my grand a lot of fear, dude.
Yes, because like they're going to get like a lot of backlash for this, and I hope that they don't see it the way they saw like the Banned in China backlash.
Yeah.
Like, because it's just not as interesting.
Got it. So anything else you guys want to cover? Or we're pretty, I think we've kind of gone through it.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the mailbag. I've got some voicemails here, then we'll hand it off to you, Lux. Yeah, okay, let's go to some voicemails. Again, you guys can leave us a voicemail at 21ElfHut or ElfGut07. That's the number, I believe. Again, that's 213-534-8807. Leave us a voicemail. Let us know what you thought of this episode. Are you with Jacob and Ryan? Or are you with Amanda and Lux? What side are you on? Let us know. And let us know your rating, because I thought it was great, but I get it. Okay, let's start. Actually, we have a voicemail about Board Girls, so let's hear it right here.
Hello, my authoritarians. This is Edwin from Kissimmee. I left a voicemail, but forgot to put my name.
Oh, Edwin.
To say, I really love this recent episode of South Park. Like, I wish they would have done more episodes like this on issues that are really talked about right now. Although I did love the integrity stuff, like the farm and Randy carrying it like LeBron James in 2018 finals, like just carrying that season. But I wish they would have spent more time on topics like trans athletes that really nobody wants to discuss. And, you know, and a good dichotomy between Eric and Macho Man Randy Savage, because, you know, of course we want inclusion, but then there has to be a discussion of like what's fair. And so I love it when South Park gets in the meat and potatoes and stuff like this. I wish they would have spent more time on this, but hopefully if we get three more episodes, great. So what'd you guys think of this episode?
Well, thank you.
You probably already discussed it, but anyway, love the work you guys do.
Appreciate it. So I think we've discussed this at ad nauseum, but thank you for the voicemail. Unless you guys have anything else to say,
my one immediate reaction to that email is that, or voicemail, is that like, I get it. Like, there's two things, right? One is that like, that's a topic talked about all the time. So it's a little bit weird that people are acting like this is like some, like they're touching on things people didn't want. Like the China episode, they really were touching on things people didn't want to talk about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like an extremely around topic. I will say
if anything
that the caller,
talked about,
it was Edwin, right? Makes a really good point that like there is a conversation to be had about fairness and how this stuff works. I think to act like this episode was even sort of getting into that question in a meaningful way at all, aside from saying like sometimes someone's bad, is being very generous. Because like I do agree that like there has to be a conversation. Like rules are like, I mean, I was just talking about like board game rules. Like rules are important. But like, they weren't really doing that work in the episode.
Yep. Yeah. So we got another voicemail about the South Park game. I haven't played the game. Have you played the game, Lux? Will you be able to?
Oh, buddy.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Hey, Wisecrack. Chris here. Just started listening to season finality of Tegrity Farms on your Respect Our Authority podcast. And I play South Park Phone Destroyer religiously, like every day. I have been for the past couple years. I absolutely love it. It kills a lot of time out here on the road. Having said that, we get weekly updates about the show and stuff like that and how it pertains to the game and the stuff they're going to be adding to the game because of that. And I'm going to read you one of the news posts that I just got. In the season opener, an even stronger woman causes big problems for the PC principal, Cartman, Stan, and the rest of the boys meet their match when some of the girls join their board games club in the all-new episode Board Girls, on airing on Wednesday, November 13th at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So that tells me that we haven't even started the South Park season proper yet. Like, this Tegrity Farms is its own separate entity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think that's just kind of crazy. I was wanting to get your thoughts on that, on the fact that, like, you know, we're essentially getting two seasons of South Park, like Tegrity Farms and, you know, South Park, you know, proper. So do you think that's going to be an ongoing thing? Like, next year we're going to get a season of Tegrity Farms and a season of South Park? It's pretty crazy. And on a regular, really stupid, unrelated note, do you think when I go to add this to my Blu-ray collection, it'll all be packaged together, or I'm going to have to buy them separately? I know that's dumb, but yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It is.
Keep up the great work, guys. And
thanks,
I will
Chris.
Talk to you next time. Bye.
Thanks, bud. I feel like I'm on the phone right now with him. thank you. No. Oh, sorry. As if he's going to react to me. I think it'll all be packaged together one season, mm-hmm. but it is cool. I don't know what else. What other? They've almost like created these franchises within the show, and then they've spun them out into their own seasons or this own little like mini show.
Yeah, and I think it's fun how they do each one differently. Like the PC Babies is more like sitcom.
PC Babies.
Yeah, it's like sitcom-y, right? How it like it sings to you every act break.
Yeah,
I like that. And yeah.
Now the PC Babies are
back. Wonder, my one question is, like, you think it's going to be all PC Babies with Lair? Do you think they have, like, four different, like, three or four more different intros and setups to do?
Really, who else is, oh, gosh.
Well, there's just, like, kids, there's any of the superhero stuff, because you can always do Marvel things.
I bet no matter what, they're not going to do a regular South Park intro.
I think that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. I would say I think it's going to be PC Babies the rest of the season.
All right. Well,
oh, I don't know what these will be interesting podcasts.
That's my prediction. Okay. Here's let's see. Let me pick. I don't know. Here's Jessica talking about season finale.
What's up, authoritarians? This is Jessica from Alabama again.
Hey.
Calling in about season finale. You guys were kind of talking about predictions for the rest of the season and kind of seeing. Is Garrison Trump going to be a regular thing? But you guys didn't really touch on what I kind of got from the whole Randy trial thing, especially him getting off and, like, coming to the podium with Giuliani next to him and, like, oh, yeah, we're so glad we got off. It kind of seemed to me like they're already laying their foundation for, like, he's going to get away with it again. Other than that, I really don't know what else they specifically would have to say. I don't know what else South Park would really benefit from satirizing. Real life is so satirized already just from his very existence and, you know, the bullshit that he was talking about, the defend, whatever, victimize, you know, yourself. So I think that if Garrison shows back up in the season, it's going to be only after impeachment is voted on. They might have a little subtle nod to, like, oh, hey, we were right. He got off just like Randy did. Ha ha. LOL. You know, he can get away with everything, which is kind of what they were saying with this episode, because it wasn't just about Randy. It was about the way Trump gets away with everything. I think they're just as cynical as everyone else, but he's not actually going to get impeached. So, yeah, I just want to know if you guys had gotten the same thing from it and love everything you do on the internet.
Thank you. Thanks, Jessica. Again, try to keep these voicemails short and tidy if you guys can, too. It makes it a little bit easier to play on the air. But I think, yeah, do you think we're going to see, I think we talked a little bit about this last episode. Do you think we'll see Garrison again if something happens? Like, let's say we get the impeachment vote.
I think he'll be like seasoning, you know, he'll be like a little bit of paprika here and there.
It's a little spice.
Yeah.
All right, we have one last voicemail about season finale, and I'm gonna skip a couple others because we got to move on into the mailbag. But let me just play this one last one, and then we'll go into the email.
Hey, what's up, the authoritarians? This is Mike in Jersey. I was just watching last week's episode of season finale, and I noticed an interesting little Easter egg thing that actually dates back also to the, I believe it's the second episode of the season where Randy makes a deal with China. So, okay, if you watch that episode again, if you pay attention during the prison camp scene, the prison guards are actually carrying AR-15s. And in the season finale episode, when the whites go to the ICE detention facility for the little kids, they're all carrying AK-47s. I don't know if this is just like an Easter egg they threw in for like the gun nuts out there, or if there's some kind of commentary on this. I'll let you guys decide that. I honestly don't know. My buddy, who I'm watching the episode with, he doesn't know either. And anyways, just appreciate your thoughts. Anyways, thanks. Love the podcast, and keep it up.
Thanks, Mike. Cheers, guys. Thank you, man. I think it's not much to read into, but maybe, unless you think they've amped up the security or amped up the...
I know nothing about
guns. I think it's just like a design thing.
Yeah, I would imagine like an animator just sort of needed to pull a gun, and they just AK-47 came off the shelf.
Or that's sort of where in previous episodes,
they pulled off another piece of stock before that. Okay, well, let's go ahead. Thanks, Mike, for the call, and thanks, everybody, for the voicemail. Again, if you want to leave us a voicemail for this episode, the phone number to call is 213-534-8807 or 21-ELF-HUT or ELF-GUT-07. And now let's get into emails. You can email us at southpark@wisecrack.co. That's not .com. .com goes to some guy who's trying to blackmail us for all, wants a lot of money for a domain name that we are not going to pay. So if you want to brush him, you can email him, I guess. But if you want to email us, it's southpark@wisecrack.co. So again, leave us an email. And also, there will be a new episode of South Park coming out the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. So that's in a couple of Wednesdays from now. So we will still have an episode that week of Respect Our Authority. It might be coming out a little bit later than usual. So just nothing to worry about. No need to get alarmed if we're not out Thursday morning. But we will get it out as soon as possible, given that we're all going to be on Thanksgiving break. But we will get an episode out to you guys. Okay, with that, Lux, what emails do we have?
All right, we got a few real interesting ones. First is from Revia, who says, "Hey there, authoritarians. I don't normally do this sort of thing, but I was just so disappointed by the wasted potential of that episode that I had to send you guys some thoughts." Looks like he got a team Lux and Amanda over here. I'm going to be generous and skip right over the portrayal of Heather and assume we live in a universe where people faking being trans to win competition is a real concern, as opposed to the actual universe where a cis woman loses her ability to compete as a woman because a governing body decides her testosterone levels are too high. That's a true thing that happened. Were we really supposed to think that a, quote, a buff man could handily beat women athletes in any physical contest, so sex segregation in sports is completely justified, was a feminist take? The episode seems to operate under the impression that the issue under discussion is born entirely from the practical necessity of classifying athletes by gender, rather than the difficulty of shifting entrenched social attitudes of gender essentialism, which is bizarre considering alternative gender-neutral technical classifications already exist in many sports, for instance, weight classes in boxing and wrestling. How can the episode speak to the importance of nuance for understanding understanding cis people while reducing trans people to an inconvenient boogeyman yet again? At least for gay issues, there was a big gay Al. I thought the sissy was a step towards that, but bored girls just felt like a regurgitation of the assumptions of your average center-right person who doesn't know any trans people. Maybe you guys can straighten this mess out. Cheers, Revia."
Thanks, Revia.
Totally agree,
I think
Revia.
That's basically everything that exactly, I've been saying, but articulated way better than we did.
Totally. We should just write an email.
Revia, you want to join the podcast?
Yeah, if you want this podcast, it's yours. We can I'll sleep in on Thursdays.
Yes.
But I think that's like spot on. I just like it gets that thing where it's just like the same. It's just like it feels really samey with other dumber conversations about the same thing.
Yes.
And that's like what rubs me the wrong way. Now we have the next email, which is from Brian, who says, "Hello, authoritarians. So now that part two of season 23, this is what I'm calling it because there's clearly a distinct distinction between the beginning, what the beginning is, and what the end will become, is out. I'm half happy and half sad about it. Tegrity Farms is such a good place for South Park to talk about it, especially with the rise of small businesses and new status quos. But I'm actually excited for this new direction that South Park is heading as they talk about more issues that can't really be associated with businesses or corporate America. I'm glad that South Park is continuing their line of talking about issues that no one really wants to talk about. One thing about this episode, I feel like they did somewhat poorly on plot connection. Heather Swanson's identification as a woman in competitions and having that conflict with PC principle and strong woman was rather overplayed at times. Sure, it is a joke that there was nothing different about Heather Swanson's attire or anything really, but I feel like they could have taken more time to better the resolution, as it was just two lines about how PC Principal was accepted by his kids, and then it cuts to the end credits. Also, the board game stuff, despite being the B-plot, was really good in this episode, IMHO, and I like how Stan just knows all this board game stuff, and the girls are actually kicking ass in these board games. Thanks for reading my email. I do have extra stuff below if you want to mention it. I don't have time for all the extra stuff, but there was a lot of extra stuff. So thanks, Brian. I basically also agree with this email. I'm excited about, this episode was like not what I was hoping the post-Tegrity Farms life would be like, but I'm still excited at the prospect.
Yeah, I'm glad no more weed jokes. Like, it got a little played out.
I think you were saying you're kind of done with the weed jokes.
Yeah, we got it.
And there's a couple episodes ago. So like, yeah, it was good and small, but and it was also a season finale. It wasn't like it was the end. Like, hey, we're shutting down Tegrity Farms. Just I think that's we'll have more of that in the future if there's more plays on Tegrity. But I think in a lot of ways the PC Babies show, if that's what we're going to get more of, is it just opens up it's a fresh opportunity and a platform to talk about a lot more stuff.
Yeah, hopefully better than this episode did.
And I think I have mixed feelings of this. This is maybe something that we could talk about earlier, but this is something that I was thinking about while we've been talking, is that I almost wish they'd flipped the 60-40 of emphasis, that it was 60% board game stuff, 40% Heather stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a better A-plot.
I think that, but then the flip to that, obviously, is that, like, the Heather stuff was so clumsy as it was. Like, what would it be like with a third less time?
Mm.
And I have a hard time reconciling those two ideas. But it's just something I've been thinking about, because I did really, I just, like, could not get enough of these fucking board game nerd kids.
yeah.
I just wanted
They were
more.
So good.
Yeah.
I thought you would love those jokes. I mean, like, they're just, like, riffing off. I'm just, like... Just like endless lists of great game. I was like, I know Lux has played every one of these, knows the rules by heart.
They were talking about the different Euros. I was like, ooh, now you're speaking.
They even killed the dungeon master. I didn't know you could do that. You can't do that.
Yeah, you can. All right, the next one is from Steven. I just like this email because this raises a cool concept to me. And I'll explain why after you hear it. Steven says, hello, respect my authority. I'm not sure if anyone has pointed this out yet, but during the opening of the episode of the season finale, right before Randy is behind the camera, I believe this introduction is actually a nod to a YouTube weekly series put on by The Dice Tower, a board game related YouTube channel entitled Board Game Breakfast. They do a weekly board game show that provides general updates and commentary from multiple reviewers in and around the board game market. The opening uses very similar music, drawings, and usually has dice, meeples, or some other random board game component dropped in a bowl with milk being added. I believe this is just a nod to their love of board games, which made appearances in a few of the episodes over the season. Just want to point that out. Keep up the great work.
That's cool. That's good to know. I was thinking it was like a play on like Good Mythical Morning, like where they'll just kind of talk about anything in the morning.
I thought it was just making fun of Vice.
Well, what I thought was...
Vice?
Yeah.
What I thought was super interesting about that is that like this episode was about board games. Like that feels like an Easter egg to see this episode.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Do we think there was anything in this episode that might see the next one? Like was there anything that stood out in that kind of way?
Oh, like something that'll be connective tissue that connects through?
Yeah, because like this seems like now that I know that, and if this read is true, which sounds pretty accurate, then like it seems like a clear like indicator of what was to come.
You know, I did see something. I'm confused because I've watched the last few episodes like again, and I can't remember if it was, but anyway, I didn't take a note on it. There was like something that I saw that was like, oh, that was a carryover from the last episode. But I don't remember what it was. No idea.
I mean, the girls' like game playhouse is like a pretty good. The board girls,
yeah.
thing is like it's a pretty good setting.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't want to see it completely wasted. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, yes, thank you very much. Well, guys, look. First of all, let's get a little Thank you, everybody. Oh, thank you for those emails and those voicemails. You guys make us
so
happy.
Thank you so much.
Thank
we
you.
Listen to all of. Oh, that's a lot of clapping. We listen to all of them. we read them all, and we really appreciate it, guys. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today's episode again of season 23, episode 7. Help us break the tie. Send us your emails or voicemails, and let us know what you think. What's your rating on this episode? And what are your predictions for what's coming in these next final three episodes? Because I'm excited. I love this show. It's literally the only show that I watch now. I love it. It's my favorite. Anyway, I want to say...
Great, you guys. I'm going home.
And again, that's been Respect Our Authority.
Respect My Authority!
Thank you so much. I have all these soundboards. I have to play with these things. It's too fun. But again, thanks so much to our participants today. Thank you, Amanda Shirker.
Thank you dearly.
Thank you, Michael Lux. Hopefully you get some more sleep and rest and get ready for your wrestling.
Not today, but one day soon.
One day soon. Anything you guys want to plug or talk about? Any new episodes or any new cool videos you're working on or more wrestling or articles that you've written on medium.com/wisecrack?
Go check out our Medium. I just wrote like 2,000 words about baby boomers.
Ooh.
Most of them derogatory.
Okay, boomer. Perfect.
Yeah. And if, I mean, as always, you can find me and the other podcast at the Game Boys podcast, but also the new Party World Wrestling Indiegogo is live, baby. Woo! So if you want cool shirts and sweaters and hats and a fanny pack, maybe. I don't remember what we're selling. Ooh. We're selling stuff, and that's for sure.
Is there a URL?
There is a URL. You go to igg.me/at/wassailmania. That's W-A-S-S-A-I-L mania. I didn't know about this word until recently. I learned about it because of the show. But yeah, if you go to igg.me/at/wassailmania, W-A-S-S-A-I-L mania, you can find a cool video I made, plus the way options for buying all sorts of dope gear.
Thank you so much, mister. Yeah, get the link off the joy. We'll put that in the description, and we'll make sure our fans go and check it out. All right, guys, that's been Respect Our Authority. Have a great, great day, a great week. Enjoy South Park, and everyone will be back next week. Hopefully we'll get Ryan and Jared back in the studio. All right, Yay. Everybody, have a good one.
Later.
Bye.